This time, church, will you open the Bible with me as to for today's morning scriptures? This morning, the Bible text is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verse 6, a voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, Pastor Alvin will bring us this morning message. Pastor Alvin.
Just welcome you. Thanks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We just passed noon time. It's just so great to gather. Thanks to Rodney and the team for leading us in that time of worship. I think it really feels so lifted as we sing. Actually, many elements of the gospel is in there. And also, a lot of scripture is actually from there as well, even as we resume Isaiah today. And even after the video showing the SGSM Fest, I'm quite tempted to gatecrash the youth camp end of the year. Okay, but I think our youth side won't be so happy. So, but do pray for them that as they gather in Majudi end of the year, it will be possible. And I think it will disrupt those plans and that, you know, God will really visit them also during that time. Come, let us pray as we receive God's word. Father, we come into your presence. We recognize, Lord, how your word strengthens us. And even as we sing songs of worship unto you, Lord, as we seek to minister to you, you also minister to our hearts. So, Lord, would you encourage us? Would you speak to us even as we gather around your word? Open our hearts and our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is speaking to us about. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, have you ever experienced a time in your life when you felt that everything went wrong? When things fall apart all around you, it could be because of a series of different decisions that you have made, or it could even be because of things beyond your control, things that had happened to you beyond your control. But after that, everything just went wrong. You know, I think of this man who was recently charged with life imprisonment for the killing of his wife while on holiday overseas. I think you read of that in the news. And how that happened after a series of unfortunate accidents and incidences that had happened. I cannot imagine the pain, that sense of loss that the children in particular would face. I think of the one who receives news of the sudden discovery of fourth stage cancer. I think of this cleaner who was reported to have lost 300 over 1,000 of his life savings to a scam. savings that he had accumulated over the last 50 years. And now he's old and retired and there's only $49 in his bank account. Or the many who have lost their homes overnight due to the natural disasters that are happening all over the world, the floods, the fires, the landslides. And overnight, their home is gone. If we had found ourselves in one of those situations, how would we have felt? How does one find hope in those situations when things seem to go wrong and there seems to be no way back? I think the Israelites found themselves in that kind of a situation when they were exiled to Babylon in 586 BC. This was prophesied by Isaiah, as recorded for us in chapters 40 to 55, and this is where we will resume our study. Well, notwithstanding all the debate among scholars and theologians regarding the authorship and the time of writing of the book of Isaiah, because different ones have been saying that, you know, this may not be written by Isaiah because this happened like 150 years after his time. How would he have known? You know, he probably wrote all this, somebody else wrote all this after the things have happened and attributed it to him and all, you know, all those kind of scholarship debates, okay? But here I'm taking the widely held traditional view that as with all other prophetic material and the prophets of the Old Testament, what they wrote were what they received from the Lord through direct revelation and through visions that God gives them. And so Isaiah here was writing about their exile to Babylon before it actually happened 150 years later in 586 BC. And he writes to the readers as if they were already in exile, addressing them as if they're already in exile, offering hope and comfort to them. And so you see in the brief outline, I think we have shared this with the church before, you see that in from 40 onward, it talks about redemption that is promised, because they are supposed to already be in exile then, and how redemption will be provided. And in the last segment, from about 56 to 60, Isaiah seems to be writing to yet another different audience, speaking to a people who would have returned to the land 70 years thereafter, and who will be facing all the different issues in the land that they are returning to, and exhorting them, now that you are returning to the land, live righteously before your God. And you know, all this makes Isaiah such a difficult book, right? And such a mind-boggling book to wrap our heads around. But it was God here who's revealing all that will be happening to Israel over the next 200 years. And he's gotten the prophet Isaiah, as it were, to write almost like time capsule letters, okay, to his people, to be read and relevant to them 150 years down, 200 years down the road, when they're actually in exile and when they return back to the land. Now, in the first half of this year, we looked at the first 39 chapters over the pulpit, and in yourselves, I think some of us are covering that, and you will have realized Isaiah's main message to the Israelites was that God is the one that they should trust, even in the midst of various threats from surrounding nations and all the things that were happening then. But yet, the people chose to turn to other nations to help them. They were not able to fully trust in God. And so these nations as well, along together with Israel, received God's judgment for the wickedness and their failure to trust God. And so the theme for that first 39 chapters of Isaiah were trust, to trust God in troubled times. And we have found that also relevant to us in our time as well. But God's revelation to Isaiah also was that eventually Judah, the southern kingdom, does fall to his enemies, because they had continued in their lack of trust and failed in their commitment to honor God and to worship him. And so they will suffer the consequences of their actions. But yet, the message is that God is faithful. God will still honor his word and his promises. There is still hope, because God will preserve a remnant. God will preserve them and will eventually bring them back to the land again. And so even though Israel had forsaken their part. They have not lived up to their call to be servants of the Lord, to be a light for the nations. But God Himself will honor His promise and He will raise a servant. A servant who will be able to do so. A servant who will be able to bring redemption in life. A servant who will restore the glory of God. A servant who will bring salvation. God is faithful and He will do it. In a nutshell, that's Isaiah. So up to 39, the call was to trust in a faithful God, to look to Him, that things will not fall apart. But now, as Isaiah preaches to an audience that's 150 years down the road, things have fallen apart. Judah has fallen to Babylon and in exile. The walls of Jerusalem are destroyed. The temple has been burned to the ground. And I believe that's why God needed to give this word beforehand, so that the people will not give up hope. The encouragement comes before it happens, so that they know that God is still with them. God is still for them. God has not abandoned them, and He is still in charge. So my friends, this morning, if you find yourself in similar desperate situations, unfavorable circumstances, that you see no way out, that you see no way back to where you were before because of how far down you have gone, my friends, place your hope in the Lord. Continue to do so because God has a plan for you, just as He had for the nation of Israel. And so in verse 1, the first word that comes to Isaiah in that situation was comfort. Comfort my people. Because judgment is over. Their punishment, their exile is coming to an end. And they need not live in fear and judgment anymore. But they can look to God's kindness, God's tender love towards them. You see, previously, they were full of themselves, right? They were living and enjoying their life. They were turning after other idols because of all the benefits they can get out of that. And God's judgment came upon them. God's message were all the woes and all the judgment upon them. But at this point, after being exiled, they would have been feeling abandoned, afflicted, humbled. After being away from the land, after seeing Jerusalem defeated, torn down, and the temple razed to the ground. And that's when God comes and says, comfort, comfort. So to those of you who have this healthy consciousness of sins in your life, these failings and fallenness, those of you who may be broken and humbled, who are struggling, who are depressed and suffering, my friends, you are actually in a good place. Because it is when you're in that place that the Lord comes and says these words, comfort, comfort my people. He wants you to remember you are His people. You are His. No matter what happens, you are His covenant people. Nothing changes the fact that He is your Father and that you are His beloved child. Who else can bring wholeness to those who are ruined and fallen? Who else can console the brokenhearted? Who else can bring relief to the oppressed, wherever they are? We sang about that earlier, right? The name, the only one who can do that, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name there is power, in whose name there is healing, in whose name there is life. Jesus alone. He's the anointed one who proclaims the good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, even now. And that's why Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, where it's recorded for us when he saw the baby Jesus being presented at the temple. And it is said that he has been waiting for the consolation of Israel, right? In reference to the Old Testament prophecies. And that Jesus is the one that will bring ultimate comfort and deliverance. And when he held Jesus in his hands, he says, "My eyes have seen God, your salvation." It is Christ that makes all the difference in this world. I believe I have shared before about how Felicia had lost her dad to leukemia as a teenager. Right? And at that point, how she and three other siblings suddenly had to grow up without a father, without a father figure in their family. And although it was something that, you know, one wishes not to, that one does not wish to happen to anyone, yet, but there is a recognition that at the end of the day, if her dad hadn't contracted that terminal disease, he would never have become a Christian. He would never have been brought to a point where he recognized his need for a savior. Her dad was a self-made man. Right? Among three brothers, he was the brains behind the family business. Right? They were selling cloth in Katong area. I think those of you who may know, I think they are quite famous for that. Huh? Beach Road, Katong area. And back then, that was big business. And he was the brains behind it. There was sustaining and flourishing the business. And so it was only in the face of death that he realized his need for a savior. In the midst of all the pain that the family went through together, thereafter, there was this deep sense of joy, knowing that he is in the Lord and that he is with the Lord. What greater joy after that was as a result of the dad's coming to Christ. Felicia's mom also came to know Christ. And through that, her sister and brother too. And resulting from that, the sister's husband and his in-laws came to Christ through it. And not only are all her siblings subsequently serving very actively in the churches that they worship, the next generation have also all come to know the Lord. Now, in fact, in a extended family, we have a Presbyterian pastor and an elder in a Brethren church. One of my in-laws, they are there. You know, in my mother-in-law's funeral, we took turns just to anchor that service. And so one day it was a Brethren service, and the next day was a Presbyterian service, and then after that we had an Anglican service, you know, and just it was just so amazing. And we were just saying that we were short of a service for the Baptist pastor in our extended family, you know. and it was just such a joy, you know, just to be able to see that, how through the death of her dad, the family has been transformed. Not only her family, but all the other families and households that were affected, that came to Christ because of that. Multiple families, multiple households. And truly, Acts 16 came to be true. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a seed. But when it falls to the ground, it produces many seeds and much fruit. So my friends, don't be overwhelmed and don't be too weighed down by your immediate struggles and failures that you may be in right now. Recognize that the story is not yet over. God is not yet done in your situation. You do not know how things will turn out at the end. So remember that God is there for you. Remember that there is a God who loves you so much. A God who is there making all things work together for good for those who love Him. A God who has already provided the way out for you. And Jesus said, "It is finished, it is completed," when He hung there on a cross and died, so that you may experience life, that you may have new life, abundant life. And so, like Israel, our warfare is ended, our iniquity is pardoned. You no longer need to struggle with darkness in your life forever. You can overcome it. And you can be released from it if only you will proclaim the name of Jesus and you will allow Him to take over. No matter how bad things are or have become, there is hope because there is Jesus. You know, friends, one of the things that I have learned being a pastor and a preacher is that our roles are twofold. Right? Not only are we called to comfort the afflicted, we are also called to afflict the comfortable. Okay, so for those of us who may be a bit too comfortable, God's word also confronts us. The gospel does not enable us to just sit back and say, you know, doesn't matter, whatever it is, we'll see God in heaven, we don't need to do anything about it. God's word confronts us. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, calls us to die to self, to carry our cross daily, and to follow Him. Because whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So my friends, before you get too comfortable in Singapore here, and still shielded, right, and so well provided, let us remember the words and the warnings of Christ, so that we will not find ourselves at the end of the day losing and forfeiting our souls. And that brings us to our second point, to prepare the way. To prepare the way. In verse 3, when Isaiah gets caught up in that vision, right, he records this voice that he hears. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, this verse was quoted in the Gospels of both Matthew and Mark and applied it to the life of John the Baptist, one who came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And his message was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what is also conveyed here in Isaiah 40, where the preparation of the way is prepare the way. And what it involves is for valleys to be lifted up, for mountains to be made low, for uneven ground to be leveled, for rough places to be smoothened into a plain. Metaphorically, it points to all these obstacles that needs to be removed, perhaps in our lives. Perhaps the pride and haughtiness that we have, that we are so lifted up and we think we can do all things. And these are the mountains that needs to be laid low. Our attitudes that needs to be humble. Perhaps there are unhealthy habits in our lives that needs to be changed. Perhaps there are areas of lack in our lives that needs to be strengthened and to be built up. This is all that it takes for us to be prepared. You see, John the Baptist, his call for the people in his time was to repent, and to repent now. You know, he calls it for what it is. And you know, his ministry back then, he didn't give time for people to go back and pray about it. Okay? He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, repent and be baptized. And then he was leading them to the River Jordan to be baptized. No time to go back and to pray about it, or to go and bring change before you come again, or think about it and tell me tomorrow. Now, the decision and the call is now. Respond to God's word. And he warns those who are too comfortable in their religion, including the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I guess people who you would least expect to fall short, right? Because they knew the word. But John gave that warning that they are to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Or else no amount of heritage nor religiosity will be able to save them. And they will find themselves cut down and thrown into the fire to be burnt along with all the other chaff that are burned with unquenchable fire. Wow. Quite scary words. He was referring to the fires of hell. And we need to also pause and to think again. And perhaps to turn the spotlight away from the Pharisees and Sadducees back to ourselves. And ask ourselves, what have we done with our faith? Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees, today we have the heritage that has been passed down to us. We have the scriptures all before us. We have so much resources, much more than the Pharisees and the Sadducees then. What have we done with them? You know, other than attending church week in, week out, and doing all the religious things like singing of songs and raising our hands, you know, of reading the Bible and saying our hallelujahs, how has your faith actually made any difference to the way that you live when you leave the four walls of this church? How has your faith affected the way you extend grace and love to others? How does your life reveal the love of God and the glory of God? Do people see Christ in you? You know, I think these are important questions we need to ask ourselves so that we will not be found wanting when we meet the Lord and fall into this category that John the Baptist says, people who fail to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, many of the Pharisees were found wanting in Jesus' days when Jesus first came. And I pray that we will not be found wanting when Jesus returns again. You know how many of us have reads Impact Magazine, subscribes to or reads Impact Magazine? No? Okay, it's actually a very good magazine. It's a locally produced Christian magazine targeted to help working adults apply godly principles to contemporary issues in our immediate concern, right? Things that happens in our modern current world. In their latest issue, it was entitled Wars and Rumors of War. And it deals with how we respond in the light of our situation that we find ourselves now, with all the wars that are going on, and all the related concepts about picking up arms and defending our country and things like that. And what does it mean to experience the shalom of God? I think it's really worth a read. You know, in fact, worth subscribing to. Okay? If you haven't... because it really equips us and enables us to engage with things that we see around the world and even in Singapore. You know, COVID has come and like almost going, right? We have come out of COVID restrictions, have gone into the endemic stage, and it seems as if in Singapore now we are trying to put all this behind and say, you know, we are not going to ever go back to those days again. Right, and you can see the direction the government is going. Right, it's trying to opening up and saying that, you know, it's not going to be like before. Now we are in a new normal. We see some parts of the world that is also happening. People are trying to forget all this that has ever happened. You know, this recent NDP parade. I don't know whether you were there or you're watching it on TV. I other than the mask, everything else was like pre-COVID. Right, you see people there, shoulder to shoulder, tens of thousands of people, you know, singing and screaming. And as usual, our president, you know, at the end goes down and he was shaking hand after hand after hand after hand, okay? And I was telling myself, great, after this, we can all shake hands already. Okay, so... and it's as if, you know... We don't want to go back to those days where we can't even sing and we can't even shake hands anymore. But even as the world hurries on to get on with life and to go back to business as usual, you know, my friends, in reality, it will never be life as it was. Never. As much as we want to change our environment, as much as we want to free up and help people to be able to experience what it was before again, it's never the same. Because it's God's agenda. God's agenda is ticking away. You know, what has happened in these last 2 years was not just because of the failings of mankind or just something that happened coincidentally. It is the unfolding of God's plan and God's agenda for the world and for humankind. And because of that, we will never be able to roll back these last 2 years. This is what God wanted us to go through. This is what God wants us to experience. So that we know we are nearer now than ever before to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be more coming up, my friends. Not just wars and rumors of war, but diseases, illnesses, natural disasters that will happen more and more. So let us make every effort to prepare our lives. If we need to, we need to take a deep, hard look. Clear out all the rubbish from our lives. Things that distracts us. That things that feed our fallen nature. So that God can come and make His habitation in your life. This is what He calls for us. And this is what He desires for us. That He may dwell with us and in us. That we may receive His favor and His blessings. So my friends, if you are not yet ready for Jesus' return, don't procrastinate anymore. Now is the time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Prepare the way now before, and get ready before it's too late. In verse 6, Isaiah again tells us of another voice that he hears. Now he comes into God's presence and this vision that God has given him, and he just hears voices coming up, right? So the first was comfort, comfort. And then he hears this voice that says, prepare the way. And now the voice cries out again, cry, cry out, proclaim. What was he to cry out? What was he to proclaim? He goes on to say, all flesh is grass, and all is beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. You know, and as I read this, I thought to myself, the moral of the story is, don't buy flowers. Okay? you know, I used to struggle with this a lot, right? The buying of flowers, because I always think it's just such a pity, such a waste of money, right? You spend so much money to buy something that lasts only a few days, right? And then it withers. You know, I don't have green fingers. Everything I touch or don't touch dies, you know? So all the whatever green thing just doesn't survive with me. Except money plant. That one, it grows on its own, right? You don't need to do anything. but, you know, I just couldn't just buy flowers, and that's something I know my wife also struggles with, you know. She says, I don't give her flowers. Even when she asks for it, I don't give, you know, that kind of thing. So, until I realized that actually what I was buying wasn't the flower. What I was paying for was the happiness and joy that the flower gives my wife, right? What I was paying for was the happiness and the joy. And you know what? That is priceless. Priceless. So buy or don't buy? Of course, buy, yes. I have since repented, okay? So now, so now I feel like I just buy my flowers on those days that I need to, okay? Okay, I recognize the kind of joy and happiness it gives, even though you only see it for a few hours in a day. The rest of the day, you're actually in the office, right? So, but for the joy and happiness, that's priceless, right? But what we want to really learn from this is not about buying flowers or not, okay? It's about the fact that if you are willing to spend so much on things that don't last for too long, right? In fact, yesterday I was talking to somebody else that, we buy flowers that last a few days, but we also spend $40, $50 on a piece of steak that we gobble down in 30 minutes, okay? And some people might say, you know, what a waste of money, right? I may as well just buy a $6 meat, you know, all goes into the stomach, all the same anyway, okay? Of course, it's different. But we spend on so many things, right, that last some for a few days, some for a few years, some for only 10 years, right? You spend so much money, and then after that, gone, right? You know what I'm talking about. So, but if you are willing to spend so much on things that don't last for too long, how much more? How much more we ought to spend and to invest in things that last longer, that last for all eternity? And that's where this voice here declares, all flesh is grass. You know, it refers to, of course, our physical body, right? And even our physical bodies will one day come to an end. It will one day pass away. The grass that withers and the flower that fades, here today and gone tomorrow. So how much more we are to invest in things that last for all eternity. And this testimony is affirmed again in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus taught in Matthew 6. He says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when Isaiah gets to the point where he says the word of God will stand forever, he's referring to the testimony of the Word of God. God's truth, God's promises. And this is what we are to cry out. This is what we are to proclaim. The Word of God and His promises for His people. Because His Word helps us to understand what life is all about. His Word helps His Word reveals God for who He is. His Word exhorts us how to live our life, a life of integrity, a life that honors Him, a life that pleases Him. His Word encourages us to store up treasures in heaven instead of in this temporal world. His Word shows us what happens after this life is over. What next? And then we need to decide, what do we do with His truth? With this truth and His promises that He reveals to us in His Word, how then do we want to live our lives? We cannot ignore that, and we cannot just read it on Sunday and then go on life as per normal on Mondays. We need to respond to what God's truth has revealed to us. And with that, I want to end today's sharing with the story of this girl who had passed away last year when she was only 11 years old. You know, yes, you can imagine the family grieved so badly. You know, I can only imagine how it gutted them to have lost her so early, so young, and in such a manner. It's been almost exactly a year since then. And, you know, they're still in so much pain. But in the midst of all this pain that they were going through, they felt led to set up a fund in the memory of their daughter. And they called it the Bean Sprout Fund. And they set it up with the desire to want to bless the less fortunate with necessities in such times. Medical supplies in places that don't have much access to it. And to help ministries outside of Singapore, those that are doing the work of God. And you know what? To date, that fund that they have set up, has helped to establish 2 new training centers for pastors in Delhi and South Africa. It has helped to alleviate the financial burden of a missionary in Thailand who is discovered to have cancer and is receiving treatment. It has helped to set up a radio broadcasting studio for pastors to share the gospel over the air in West Bengal. It has helped to provide much-needed provisions, build wells, and church buildings in various parts of Vietnam, as well as a sensitive country in a Southeast Asian country. And they have also used the fund to bless more than 300 pastors all across Asia. Wow. Wow. You know, when I heard about this, I just have goosebumps, you know, and I was just flabbergasted. Out of all that pain and suffering that they were going through and is still going through, they have decided that they will be a blessing to others. You know, and as I communicated with them, the mother said this. She said, why we do this? Because God is real. Because Jesus is real. Because heaven is real. And she is with God now. We hope sincerely that this fund will be instrumental to bring many more to Christ. To God be the glory. You know, in these words, you don't find deep theological insights nor doctrinal theories. Just a very simple outworking of a faith and trust in God. God is real. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. And that was all that is needed. You know, my friends, when we live lives like this, not only will we find hope in a world that crushes us, not only will we find hope when we go through pain and suffering, but we will also be able to give hope. Not only will we be able to experience the love of God, we will be able to share God's love. not only will we be able to see God's glory, we will be able to show God's glory to others so that they too might know Christ. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for how you have called us to be your people. That it is because of all that you have done that has made us your covenant people. And that in this world that is broken and torn apart, a world that is fallen, a world that is suffering, a world that will always be full of sin and failure, pain and suffering and death, you have said there is hope. Because there is Christ, and because of all that Christ has done on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done. And enable us, Lord, to persevere even in the midst of pain, in the depths of our soul, even when we find ourselves in situations that we cannot turn around, that we cannot turn back from. May we learn to keep our eyes on you and to look to you for deliverance. And to call upon the name of Jesus, because therein is power, therein is healing, therein is life, through the name of Jesus. But we recognize also that, Lord, you are calling us to prepare the way, to prepare our lives to be ready for you when you return. And so, Lord, if there are things in our lives that needs to be changed, that needs to be addressed, that needs to be transformed, would you come and do that now? Valleys that needs to be lifted up, mountains in our lives that needs to be laid low, uneven ground, uneven places that needs to be leveled and to be made smooth. Lord, would you come? Prepare us so that we can be a blessing to others. You know, friends, I just want to take a moment now with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. The Lord has spoken to you this morning on perhaps a particular area in your life that you need to address. Perhaps something you are struggling with, that you're indulging in, that you need to get rid of. Would you submit it to the Lord? And this morning, now, make that decision to say you don't want to go back to that again. You want to turn away from that. You want to surrender that to the Lord and to call upon His name to be released from it. For others, maybe it's an area of lack in your life. Perhaps it's something you have always wanted to do but never got around to it because of a lack of discipline. Perhaps because for you, life has been comfortable, too comfortable. And you're not willing to pay the price. This morning, the Lord's call for us is to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Make that decision now, my friends. Make that decision to invest in your life, invest your life in things that count. And so if there are things that the Lord has put into your mind today, I want to invite you to just surrender that to the Lord. And make that decision today to be transformed, to do something about it. Not next month, not next week. Today. Today. If the Lord has spoken to you, I want to pray for you. As an indication to the Lord, would you raise your hands? That the Lord, this is something that the Lord has brought to my mind, something I need to work on, something I need to abandon in my life, or something I need to build up in my life. Would you raise your hand as an indication to the Lord? Keep your hands up. I'm not going to ask you to stand or to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But this is your commitment to the Lord. This is you telling the Lord, Lord, I hear you and I want to be ready. I want to be prepared when you return that I will not be caught falling short, but that I want to reveal works in keeping with repentance, that you may be glorified in my life. Lord, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters whose hands are raised. You have spoken to them on the things in their lives that they need to work on today. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, you will break that addiction. You will break that habit that is unhealthy. You will break that which is you are not pleased with, and you will remove it. Strengthen them, enable them to overcome it in the name of Jesus. Enable them, Lord, to be overcomers, even as they submit it to you. And I pray for those areas that they want to work on in their lives, that, Lord, you will grant them your grace. Grant them your grace that they will grow in those areas, that they will be strengthened, and that they will experience life anew, life as you meant it to be, abundant, full, pleasing to you, and experiencing your full shalom in their life. So in these areas that they want to work on, grant them your strength, your discipline, your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may put your hands down. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided for us. And we do pray, Lord, in the days ahead when things get harder, when we hear of more and more news, wars and rumors of war, and in our region, as we see things heating up, and as we hear of more and more diseases that will be going around, when we see our loved ones and people that we know afflicted and maybe passing on because of it, Lord, we know that the day will come. But this day is the day of victory when Christ will return and will remove all this and will bring in a new order of things. And it is to this day that we want to prepare ourselves towards. And so, Lord, help us to prepare our lives so that we will see you, and so that the world will see your glory revealed and manifested in our lives, in our church. May we shine your light. May we be that light for the nations that is so much needed in these end days. So lead us forward, we pray, and enable us to invest in these things of eternal value that the world may know you are God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.